Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Injury report is out. Good news coming from that. Matt Nagy has spoken, and there's only one guy I trust to bring us all of the pertinent facts about the upcoming game on Sunday.
Jenny, you are the bomb. We really like all your nuggets and your special stuff.
Huh? Live on the Corona Hotline, it's our guy, Jeff Dickerson. JD, how are you today, buddy?
My good friend, I am wonderful. So let's start with the news of the day, and that's that Robert Quinn had full participation. Now, this is a Friday practice, Tommy, as you know, and those are not rigorous practices, more like glorified walkthroughs. So guys have had full participation before on a Friday and still not played on a Sunday, but Robert Quinn did talk to us today on the Zoom call. He made it sound like he's going to play, or he really feels like he's going to play. We got the same impression from Danny Trevathan. The Bears, of course, are not going to tell us officially what's going to happen, but he was limited Quinn on Wednesday and Thursday, full today, officially questionable. And I would say, not knowing how the next 48 hours are going to go, I certainly wouldn't rule him out to make his Bears debut this weekend. So I think that is the big piece of news. Khalil Mack was limited all week with a knee. He also joined us via Zoom. He said absolutely he's going to play. And then Akeem Hicks, who missed yesterday because of an illness, Tommy, returned today, not even on the final report. Good. So he, of course, is also good to go.
They came out relatively, if not exceptionally healthy out of Detroit, didn't they, JD, in week one?
And that was one of the things that Matt Nagy mentioned in the positive category, aside from the win, which was positive, and the way that Mitch threw the ball in the fourth quarter, and the one takeaway the defense had on the Kyle Fuller interception on the tipped ball, is that they suffered no new injuries of significance. And that, yes, is very important, because how many players did the Lions have injured, you know, last week? They were down three cornerbacks at one point. They're still going to miss Galladay, I saw. He's not going to be active for their Week 2 game coming up on Sunday. So, yes, from a Bears perspective, as far as new injuries, it doesn't seem like any materialized in that opening win.
JD, you mentioned the injuries that the Lions suffered in this game, and obviously played a huge, had a huge impact in the outcome of that game, especially late in the fourth quarter. I said yesterday I thought that Matt Nagy had a very good day on Sunday. Maybe not perfect. You could point to something here or there. But what he did this weekend, this past weekend, was he finally put Mitch in a position to do, help Mitch do what he does well. And then when they noticed that you were without Trufant and they were down three corners, they went after McCray for the entirety of the last 15 minutes of that game. And I thought it was a very well-coached and designed game plan by Matt Nagy.
I agree. And also the fact that they exploited the Lions' secondary problems in the fourth quarter with Mitch aside, Tom, they came out and they ran the football.
Yeah.
I liked where their head was at as far as what the head coach was looking for with the ground game, with Montgomery, with Tariq Cohen, with Cordero Patterson. Now, are there a few plays you can have back? I mean, should the quarterback get 1 yard on a QB sneak on, you know, third down? Yes. You still go 2 of 11 on third down, which is unacceptable. Was that ball tipped that Mitch threw to Ted Ginn?
No, it wasn't.
Incomplete? It was not. Maybe there was a vantage point problem with the coach's tape or whatever, but that play was there. It was open. Quarterback just didn't make the play. I agree. I don't think Matt Nagy had much to apologize for in that first game. If you want to blame him for Mitch being out there for the first three quarters, that's on you. I'm not saying I'm doing that, but I mean, there's always, people are always going to criticize people. That's just the world we live in. But I think as far as what he was looking to accomplish, I liked where his head was at. I thought the play calling, for the most part, was pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, the execution for four quarters has to be a lot better. I don't know what you're going to see on Sunday. The Giants are on a short week. They didn't run the ball at all against the Steelers. They passed the ball okay. It's a new coach. They didn't block really well. Didn't play great defense. So, I mean, the Bears really, Tom, should win this game. They should be 2-0. And I'm not saying that to, like, set them up and if they lose for some reason,
right.
You know, the sky is falling. I mean, the sky will be falling because that's what happens after every loss in any NFL city. But I'm not, like, building them up to tear them down. They should be 2-0 after this week. But then after that, moving forward, I think the schedule gets a little more interesting. So if you want to act like, you know, the early games are going to be the supplement for the preseason and you're going to work some stuff out, that's great because you can do that, I think, on Sunday and still be successful. But as far as sort of the identity and mentality that they were trying to put out there offensively early last week, I liked it as well as you did.
It's really interesting, JD, because we've spent a lot of the week talking about the leash that Mitch has, that Matt, you know, what will Matt do? And with the benefit of hindsight, I mean, there was a time, I'm not going to lie to you, I thought in the third quarter where it was a possibility that Matt was going to make a change. But with the benefit of hindsight, knowing that the offense now, looking at it with Mitch involved, it will look entirely different if, in fact, they do get to the point where a quarterback change is made. Do you not agree that if Nick Foles is in, you're going to see more shotgun, you're going to see more RPOs, and with that in mind, you'd have to give the offensive line and everyone else a full week to get prepared for a different style. Do you agree with that assessment?
I mean, that's a good point. Now, I mean, I think what ultimately could happen is, and you never root for anyone to get injured, but I just wonder, given Mitch's track record of picking up these injuries every single year, you know, and the fact that he is going to move because that's what he needs to do.
Yes.
You know, you're a little more, you know, susceptible to getting hit. I almost wonder if there's a chance that maybe he gets hurt and Foles has to go in at some point. I'm not saying it's going to be this weekend. I hope it's never. I hope the guy never gets hurt. But if he goes in during the game because of injury, you don't have that luxury of making, given that time for the offensive line to switch things around. Now, to your point, if it's a performance-based thing and you want to make a change, it's going to take a little time, I think, to get used to Foles. He doesn't move like Trubisky moves, but I think he would, you know, process things better.
He's not going to be under center like Mitch is, because Nick Foles runs what he runs from shotgun almost, you know, all the time.
I liked Trubisky under center.
I did too. I loved
that play action. I liked that sprint out play action under center. I liked it a lot. It was very effective. And that goes back to what Matt Nagy talked about at the combine in Indy before they got Nick Foles. When, remember, Ryan Pace came out that day and said, there's no question Mitch is our guy in Indy. And it turns out, well, he was right to a lesser extent. But, you know, Nagy was big on, you know, we got to change. Like, we have to change to accommodate what our quarterback can and cannot do.
And we saw that.
And we saw that. Yeah. But even though they accommodated the play over the first three quarters,
I watched it this morning, JD. Yeah.
You can't feel good about it. You can go back. I've rewatched it and rewatched it. I'm sorry. That's not going to work.
Nope.
The fourth quarter was excellent. The fourth quarter was also your chasing.
And they went right after McCray, and rightfully so.
Right. Made good decision there. Injuries are helping. You're facing a team that was very sloppy. The Lions couldn't get out of their own way. Their head coach is, you know, kind of, I guess he's a Mensa guy, but you wouldn't tell it. You wouldn't know it by some of the stuff that he does as the coach, some of the decisions that they make. You're not going to have that. That's not going to be the script every week. You can get away with that some weeks. That's not going to get you in the playoffs. I'm sorry. I feel that way. I feel strongly.
I'm with you.
And I also am a little, I don't want to say put off, because you know me, pal. I don't get put off.
You don't get put off.
But, you know, can we just stop with the whole Mitch is still young thing?
Yeah, no. He's 26, okay. Isn't he?
Well, I think he's still 25.
But he's four years in the league.
But that's fine. He is young. As a human being, he is very young. But as a quarterback in the NFL, Okay, this is year four, and he took over in week five as a rookie. And I don't like people saying that throw out his rookie year. Well, why? Yeah, the system is way different. You know, they were running stuff from the Stone Age back then. But he was still playing quarterback in the NFL. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, can we stop with this whole, well, he just had 1 year, he just had 1 year at North Carolina, and he's still really young, and this takes a lot of time. Typically speaking, Tom, quarterbacks show themselves early. Now, there's always the Steve Young example, the Drew Brees example. But is anyone going to really sit here today on this, well, kind of beautiful, chilly Friday and tell me that we got the next Steve Young in Chicago right now, the next Drew Brees in Chicago? Come on, right? I mean, that's not where this is going. So I just don't want to hear that anymore. I mean, I think it's okay to expect more even, consistent play from the quarterback. And I think that's what the Bears expect. And I think that's what Trubisky wants out of himself, if you listen back to his comments when he talked to us via Zoom this week.
Yeah. So with regard to the so-called leash, like there's some that believe based on a quarter's of worth of play, like Mitch has got three or four games now of leeway. I don't see it that way. I think if JD, if he goes out on Sunday against the Giants and plays all four quarters the way he did the first three quarters against the Lions, I think it's very likely you see Nick Foles against the Falcons. And they lose on Sunday, if that's the case.
Maybe. I sort of felt like once they went there, Tom, with him, with Trubisky to start week one, I kind of felt like they might give him three or four games. But I understand the urgency. Listen, I feel the urgency. I'll tell you what. If they would have lost that game last week, they would have felt – they feel the urgency, too. They knew they got lucky.
Well, that's my point. So what's game. So if they, if you come out, if they would have – if that game would have ended, Lions win that game, and Mitch played poorly in the fourth quarter, what would we be talking about today?
Well, you'd be talking about why is he still the quarterback. I understand.
Yeah.
We are on the same wavelength here. I don't feel like the switch was going to happen that quickly. That's not the impression that they gave us, that we have received just being around the limited stuff that we were around. I kind of felt like they were going to give him a little bit before they make this decision. But, I mean, I think that week one ended great, but I don't think that they're going to – well, certainly not Nagy. I don't think they're going to ignore what happened the first three quarters. So I think this is a big start for Trubisky on Sunday. I think it's a very favorable matchup for the Bears.
Yeah,
I mean, you're home. I don't know what home means anymore with no fans being there. But, I mean, you don't have to travel or, leave town on Saturday or anything like that. So I think that's an edge for them. And we'll see what he makes of this. But I feel like, if you think that the pressure is off him because of the way that last week ended, I don't think you're reading the situation correctly.
Yeah, I agree with you. We've spent a lot of time talking about the quarterback and the offense. Actually, the defense was equally depressing in certain situations. Is it a red-assed group of defenders right now that you expect to play significantly better on Sunday?
That's the, without having the luxury of watching practice, being able to watch practice, that's the impression that we have received from a couple of the players. Today was actually a good day as far as defensive players. We had not really spoken to any defensive players except John Jenkins, and then Kyle Fuller mumbled a couple of sentences to us yesterday. But we got Khalil Mack today. We got Robert Quinn. We talked to Danny Trevathan. Matt Nagy even said the other day that he feels like that group, Tom, got the message, and they were very feisty. As feisty as you can be at a practice. You don't want to go out there and be a knucklehead and hurt somebody on your own team during practice, hitting when you're not supposed to be hitting. But Trevathan said that they're putting pads on each other this week, and they were getting after it. They got back at it. So I would expect a very motivated defense, because based on the numbers they gave up in Detroit, Tom, compared to even where they were last year, forget about 2018, that was the historically great year, but even last year, oh, the numbers were terrible against the Lions. Net yardage, rushing yardage, passing yardage, points. They gave up 18.6 points per game last year. Lions scored 23. Everything was way off the metrics for them. So, yes, I think that if they do not show up ready to go and in a bad mood on Sunday, then something's terribly wrong.
Hey, before we get your prediction for what will happen on Sunday against the Giants, your thoughts on the Allen Robinson situation, whether or not this will get taken care of, or what's the resolution ultimately?
I believe Allen Robinson, when he said yesterday to us that he doesn't think he'll be traded, that he thinks he'll end the year as a Bear. I don't think the Bears have interest in trading him. Now, if he doesn't get the money he wants, then does he want to go? Oh, yeah. And I think no one can blame him for that. I mean, if he's not going to get the deal he wants, but the Bears can also franchise tag him after the season. So I don't see him leaving per se. I still think ultimately a deal will get done. I don't know if it's going to be like imminent or anything, but at some point I think there will be some sort of compromise worked out and they'll reach an acceptable number. I mean, a lot of people ask this question. Okay. Why don't they just give him the $20 million per year, right? Well, sometimes it doesn't work that way. If you believe, and I'm not saying that they're right or wrong in their evaluations, okay, the Bears, but if you believe a player is worth X amount, you get yourself in trouble as a franchise by overextending yourself and paying that player the top dollar if you don't think he's worth top dollar. I'm not anti-Allen Robinson. I'm just saying that clearly is where we're at, Tom. It's not that the Bears don't like him, right? They like him.
Yes.
They want to keep him. Matt Nagy loves him. He's a popular guy. He's a really good player. They want him, but it just comes down to at what cost.
Financially, they could probably make a better business decision by franchising him because the number will probably come down.
I think it's going to be below. They're projecting below $16 million next year for the franchise tag number. And, you know, Allen Robinson would like to be up there with somewhere in that Michael Thomas range. Yeah. You know, that's about $20 million per year. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is making a ton more, like, what, $24 million per year this cycle of his, or the average per year, and you got Amari Cooper, you got Julio Jones. So is Allen Robinson among those guys? I think for the Bears, he's an excellent player. Would I say he's a top three, top five receiver in the league? I wouldn't go that far, but on the other hand, you can't blame Allen Robinson for wanting to get paid. He's 27 years old. He's coming off a big year. He didn't have great quarterback play last year, and he still had close to 100 catches. So he is within every right to ask for that money, but the Bears are also in their right to say no, knowing that if worst-case scenario happens, they can use the franchise tag, which really makes nobody happy.
Yeah, welcome to the big business of football, right? Hey, before we let you go, JD, what happens this Sunday on the lakefront?
I have the Bears winning, don't you?
I do, yes.
I think I had a 21-18. Again, we have to give these picks in by, like, Wednesday. Morning, and like who knows what's happening after Wednesday with everything that we got going on. But I just think I think matchup wise, it looks good for the Bears. I think the defense will be motivated after last week. I think they'll run the ball against the Giants defense. You know, the Giants are just a kind of a young team right now with a young head coach, Joe Judge, only his second game. You know, he didn't have any preseason games to work out the kinks as a first-time head coach. So the Giants have been down for a couple of years now. So I think the Bears win, but if they screw around and don't clean up some of these defensive issues and come out and have inconsistent play from their quarterback the first couple of quarters, I think the game will be a lot closer than people want it to be.
All right. Good stuff. So you have the Bears winning by three? Is that what you said?
I have the Bears winning by three. Also, Bears just released a statement regarding the home games. Remember, Lori Lightfoot came out this morning and sort of said that the less than 50% chance, sort of made some comments that the Bears haven't been great partners with the city. Remember, the Bears trumpeted this plan. Remember, George McCaskey told us on that Zoom call like a week ago or 2 weeks ago that they have a great plan and they're working on it. Well, the Bears released a statement to kind of talk about their great plan and pump themselves up, but still noting that, you know, until the health metrics improve, you're not going to have fans at Soldier Field. That's how it goes.
Certainly something we'll follow. JD, thanks so much, buddy. Enjoy this weekend and this Bears game.
Okay? Have a great weekend, pal.
Thanks, buddy. Jeff Dickerson, the best in the business, covering all that's happening with your Chicago Bears. When we come back, I will get to Mitchell and Desplaines. Jonathan's in Plainfield. Others as well. We'll talk Bears with you. 312-332-3776.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie. And at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Bears and Giants on the lakefront, the home opener for our 1-0 Bears. Lots of football conversation on this Football Friday. Mitchell and Des Plaines, we knew we could count on you for joining us on Friday. Mitchell, what's happening?
How are you doing there, Team Pisces? Okay, this is what I want to do. I want to present to you the logic, and I want you to basically work the logic backwards. I want to present to you the facts and work the logic backwards regarding Trubisky. It's only a matter of time before he basically totally self-destructs. Because this whole ruse of a story that he beat out Nick Foles in the competition was a ruse. Because if that were true, and he made all these great, you know, leaps of faith and improvements with his footwork, it didn't really show in those first three quarters, right? Obviously, he regressed. So, you know, all this lip service by the coaches and Nagy is a total ruse. And it's really showing itself. So Nagy protects Trubisky. And listen, if it takes basically a Lions secondary, a depleted Lions secondary, and basically Nagy and all the receivers yelling at Trubisky, listen, I can beat my guy one-on-one in man coverage, that's the look that Trubisky needs. And again, if Scookie Swift basically doesn't drop the ball, the Lions win. So you're not going to have that look every week. And don't play the Giants short. Don't play them small. I think that there's going to be an upset. I think the Giants are going to win the game.
See, I did. Okay, go ahead. Finish your thought, okay, Mitchell.
Bottom line is this. It's that we should get into the habit, okay, that if Trubisky struggles, Tom, the bottom line is that you pull him and let him watch and learn from Nick Foles. And stop. We got to stop with the baby talk and beta testing Trubisky. So what? He's a big adult now. Put on his big boy pants. If he gets benched because of poor play, then that's exactly. Listen, do you think that Mike Ditka had no problem benching McMahon or Tom Zach in favor of Vincent Vins or whoever he had on that roster? And, you know, it's like, why are we lowering ourselves to, like, worrying about the sensitivities and feelings? And look, Trubisky, I think it'd be actually, if anything, I think it'd be a great growing experience for him because of the fact that his poor play is consistent. And actually, he's consistently inconsistent.
Well, Mitchell, we appreciate your phone call. I do agree with you that, I mean, look, I'm going to pick the Bears to win this game by 7. I think my final score is 24-17. I think the Giants are going to give you a little bit of a fight here. I think what we've learned what we usually learn over the course of a season is week one is one thing. Week two, things change. I mean, look at the Cleveland Browns. Again, they were playing the Bengals, but week one, the Cleveland Browns got boat raced by the Ravens and just looked awful on a lot of fronts. They packed it in. They made some adjustments. They ran the football for better than 200 yards last night. Obviously played a weaker opponent, but I think you saw a better Browns effort in week two than you saw in week one. My guess is you're going to see a better Giants effort in week two than you saw in week one. I just don't think it'll be enough to get past the Bears. And I'm with you. As JD said, look, the time for being patient with Mitch or anybody who's in their fourth year is done. It's now, I don't care who you are and what your feelings are, you have to perform or they're going to have to make an adjustment and make a change. That's just the reality of the National Football League. And again, as a fourth-year player, you can't think that they're going to be infinitely patient with you. Jonathan's in Plainfield. He's been infinitely patient with us. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
So I want to talk because I know, like, Trubisky, he's giving the Bears 3-and-out, 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 and you just see our defense, I mean, on the field way more than the offense. Our defense is starting to look tired. They're starting to look sluggish, you know, by the end of the game. They're just lucky that the Lions coach basically handed us the game, you know, having Matthew Stafford throw when he should have been running the ball, you know, having them run the ball. When do you think that – you know, like, do you think even, let's say we win another game. Let's say we keep winning like this, right? I know it's not possible, but let's just say we keep winning like that. Do you think they're going to keep Trubisky in, even if he keeps giving us horrible gameplay throughout the whole game, inaccurate, almost getting players killed out there and just not being able to hit his receivers until, let's say, late in the fourth or our defense wins those games? Do you think that they're going to end up cooling him?
I think, Jonathan, and thanks for the call. I think if Mitch has another game on Sunday the way he had last Sunday, yes, I believe he's a starter against the Atlanta Falcons. I think there is going to be outcome bias that will exist with this. If he plays poorly and they lose, I think it's much more likely that the change will come sooner than later. If they lose and he's not the big reason why, well, they're not going to make a change. But I don't believe they're going to be nearly as patient with him as other people think. I just don't think that's the case.
And on his point about the defense being out there so much longer, that was last year. Because last week, the Bears were on the field for 55 seconds less than the Lions.
Yeah.
So, like, the difference wasn't there. And I actually credit Matt Nagy with the play calling and the running game for that. So even though Mitch struggled, that time of possession difference, you can't use that excuse for
nope,
the defense.
You can't. That defense has got to be a whole lot better. And we expected a whole lot better from them. We'll continue to talk football. Football as a Football Friday rolls along, but up next is a little something we call Waddle.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports things. So many aerobics in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin. How many activities we can do.
As we enter.
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Waddle's World brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They're Chicago's banks. They got a lot of money to lend you at low prices as long as you qualify. That's just my, I added that, okay? I don't know if that's part of their advertising scheme, but I just, or presentation, but that's just what I wanted to say. They've been great to me. I've used them quite a bit. And anyway, to find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. So that's what I got for you. Would you like a U.S. Open update, Adam?
I would.
Or would you like to fill us in on the scores of the Bundesliga?
Oh, the Bundesliga, you know, Bayern 8-0 against Schalke, 8-0.
What was exactly did you have? What was your wager?
I had them over 4.5 goals, and I had them -3 on the spread.
-3 Okay.
Yeah.
And you cashed both tickets.
Indeed, I did.
You've had a good run, haven't you, lately? You're on a bit of a heater?
The FanDuel app, you know, promo code Abdallah has been good to me.
Yeah?
It's been good.
Are you a gambler, Eric?
No, not really.
You're not.
I gambled in college when I had a bookie. Like, I had a guy down there. And
okay,
then
this is, like, time out. Let me get the thinking behind that. College is probably a worse time to have a gambling situation than when you're actually out of college.
Why? He's got expendable income.
And married with a child.
I mean,
I was
much more irresponsible with my money in college is what it was.
Well, that's my point. So
that's why I was willing to do that and throw my money around at the moment. But
were you successful?
It was one of those where you had like $200 or $400 to play with because the payout and stuff. So a lot, I think I paid him like twice in 4 years. So it wasn't
It didn't affect your life.
I'm a guy that likes the lines because I don't know how Vegas gets them so close so consistently. Like, I follow them, but I just don't put my own change
on it. Speaking of that, we'll be talking with our buddy Doug Kazarian in about, 40 minutes as he brings you his plays of the week. Friday's been gambling, and gambling means Doug. So we always enjoy ourselves. I, you know what? I found myself in a little bit of a sweet spot myself right now. But anyway, so you won your Bundesliga.
Bundesliga.
Yeah.
The Bundesliga.
So finally, I've got the golf, the 120th U.S. Open up on my screen, coming to you from Wingfoot. The course is playing quite difficult right now because I believe as the sun has come out, the wind has kicked up. So it's nice and sunny. But don't think that that course is tame right now. I believe it's quite windy, it's long, it's a difficult course. And with all of that gibberish in mind, Patrick Reed is your leader currently through 11 holes on his second round. He is 4 under par. Bryson DeChambeau, who hits the golf ball in between bites of power bars, is second at 3 under par. Cabrera Bello is tied with Harry English. His name's Harrison English, but I bet the fellows on tour call him Harry English. And Justin Thomas also at 2 under par. So the numbers are creeping up, and by up, I mean they're not as good. And I know what you're asking. What are you thinking? What are you thinking right now?
Where's Tiger?
Yes, I know that's what you're thinking. He's 5 over par on the day. And I believe he just made the turn. He is 8 over par for the tournament. The cut line is at 5 over par. So he's going to have to do some work to make the cut. I think you saw earlier Phil Mickelson was 13 over for the two-day total, and he will not make the cut either. So don't know what to tell you, but it's a difficult golf course. I'm one of these guys that actually likes watching them not struggle, but be challenged. Like, I'd rather see guys struggle to be a couple shots over or under par versus see guys like Dustin Johnson was, what, 30 under par a couple of weeks ago at a different tournament?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not. That's
you want to see the best challenge, you know? Otherwise, it's like, oh, they're just going out there and rolling through the regular
part
course.
Of it is I'd like to see them, the best in the world, struggle the way we do.
Exactly. Yes,
you know, I mean, it comforts you a little bit.
Like watching Moses Mickelson four-putted earlier?
Yes.
It made me feel
from
better
like
about myself.
Feet.
Yeah.
By the way, Giannis, some basketball news, wins his second straight NBA MVP. You cool with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well deserved.
Absolutely deserves it.
By the way, the game one of the Western Conference Finals is tonight, 8 o'clock. The Nuggets and the Lakers. And you guys have any predictions?
I don't.
Can you hear that game right here on ESPN?
You can hear that game right here on ESPN 1000 after the odds couple and the baseball show.
Oh, baseball show tonight?
Baseball show.
Oh, so wait a second, Bleck's coming in.
Yeah,
he hates football but likes baseball, so he's coming in to do the baseball show. I get it.
Loves
and then
baseball.
Do we have college football tomorrow?
College football show tomorrow. Chicago's college tailgate, 10:30 to 12:30, leading you into that Notre Dame pregame as they take on South Florida.
Okay, you forgot for a second.
No. It's not as sexy as a matchup as
Duke and Notre Dame.
No. Then any of the matchups really. That Notre Dame.
Well, one game you won't have to preview. That's Houston and Baylor. That game's been postponed because of the virus.
But before you got to that NBA update was brought to you by Kia and Bet Rivers, Illinois.
Is there anything else about this Western Conference matchup that you would like to talk about?
A lot of people are on the Lakers. I will say that.
Yeah,
a lot of people are on the Lakers.
What,
it's
plus
seven?
-7?
Yeah. A lot of people are on the Lakers in the over.
I'm just going to keep betting on Jimmy and the Heat until.
They're so fun. They're incredible.
They are a fun team to watch.
Really
you're right. Like, I was watching the football game last night, but on my phone, I was watching the score of the game, and they were down, I think, 12 or 13.
17 at one point.
And then I checked. I went away and checked. And then the third quarter, they were up. I was like,
they're a unique team.
They broke the Celtics last night. You heard about that, right?
There's
the locker room stuff, the late-night meeting.
Yeah, Brad Stevens held a late-night meeting with their team leaders after the loss. I think Malika was reporting that there was some screaming from Marcus Smart and some stuff being thrown around the locker room.
He ran out of the locker room, stormed out of the locker room.
Where's he running
like Marcus
to?
Smart, though.
He plays with a lot of emotion, Eric.
Exactly.
He plays with a lot of emotion.
Dude.
That's right. So we'll see what transpires. Adam, did you tell me that there has been a change in the Eastern Conference Finals schedule because of Monday Night Football?
Yeah, so game three of the Heat and the Celtics is going to take place tomorrow night. Game four was supposed to take place on Monday night, but there's this little thing called Monday Night Football.
Uh-huh.
And so they moved it. They didn't really move it. They said, well, we'll just play on Wednesday instead. Game four will be Wednesday instead of game
five.
It's
quite a distance between the two.
Because they don't want that to be the same day as Lakers Nuggets, I'm assuming?
Yeah, they don't want games on the same day.
Quite the break.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Especially in a bubble where like you're not traveling and you're just kind of hanging out and maybe they'll open Magic, what do you call it, Space Mountain for
Space
them.
Mountain?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is Disney World open?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It's limited capacity type thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Uh-huh.
Let's do this. Fans or not, Packers running back Aaron Jones is planning on a Lambeau leap if he scores. He says, yes, definitely. You will still see a Lambeau leap from me, probably right on top of those tarps.
See, that's risky because if you're...
Nobody's there to catch you.
Well, nobody's there to catch you, but also if you don't leap enough, there's no one there to
pull you up to
save you. You just look like a dude that can't jump.
I will say this as well. I think the ATM is flowing at Lambeau this weekend.
Oh, did you see everybody out?
Well, what's that?
Everybody's out for the Lions again.
I did.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, we'll ask Doug Kazarian here in about a half hour. But when I saw that line, I bet this 2 days ago. When I saw the line at Packers -6.5, knowing that their top three corners were out against us, and that Aaron Rodgers is on the scorched earth tour that he's on, at home, no fans, but you don't have to travel. I was like, that's free money. Did you bet that already? You don't gamble, Eric. You did that in college. You don't do it anymore.
I did, yes. I took the well Packers done. Minus 6.5.
Did you get on Coastal Carolina over Campbell?
I took the under 60.5.
That's not fun on a Friday night.
What are you doing? Come on. You're sitting at home cheering for an under.
Sometimes,
I've got Coastal Carolina minus 14.5 in the first half.
Sometimes at the end of the week, you need a good. I can't go to a sauna right now, so I need a good sweat.
Yeah?
Yeah. I need a good sweat.
All right, some NFL notes for you before we take a break and come back with some nonsense. Bucks wide receiver Chris Godwin is in concussion protocol.
Kittle has been ruled out.
George Kittle, did you see his knee bent in a really strange way? He came back and finished that game in that loss against the Cardinals.
He was just ruled out, so I don't think it's on your hot list.
Okay, what else do we see? Anything else of note? I saw last night their Bengals tied in C.J. Uzoma has a torn Achilles. He's out for the season. Colts tied in Jack Doyle is out against the Vikings. Jamison Crowder for the Jets is out against the 49ers. As you mentioned, Adam, the Lions have ruled out Kenny Galladay, cornerback Desmond Trufant, and guard Joe Dahl. Free money! Packers nose tackle Kenny Clark is out for the Lions. I got to tell you, I think that the injury reports are lighter than I thought they'd be after 1 week, especially with no training camp. But anyway, that's the latest in the old sports-a-roo. When we come back, I've got the nuttiest story of the day and Florida, Ohio, and some other nonsense. I like the music. This hour is brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruits. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, but gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hot for Teacher, is that right? Cyndi Lauper doesn't sing this. This is old school Van Halen.
Featuring Cyndi Lauper.
No, David Lee Roth days of Van Halen. Hey, you know what today?
The only days of Van Halen.
You don't like Sammy Hagar?
No. No.
Wow, that was a disgusted no.
He's a snob about music.
No.
You know that.
He is. Hey, the nuttiest story of the day brought to you by our friends at Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. There's a bottle of that in there. You should bring that in. Bring that in, Adam. Bring that in. You know what we like to say, Eric? A night with Screwball. Bound to get a little nutty.
Right?
Yeah, bound to get a little nutty.
I was going to say get nutty. I wasn't going to say bound.
It's going to get nutty. Right. It's going to get crazy. You want to do a little shot of that?
No.
Let's try. Let's do one right now. Just a sip.
Let's see how nutty it is. Come on.
See how nutty it really is.
Our boss is still listening. I don't think we're allowed to do
just
that.
Just a sip.
No. Not in these. We're not swigging from the bottle with each other. Not in the pandemic.
Okay, I will. Just give it to me.
I'm taking it.
Well, then you swing it.
Your bottle's already in the car.
You gave me a story. I rejected it. You gave me a story titled.
Hold on. Did you forget what day it is?
Oh, it's Friday.
Did you forget that it was Friday?
We're giving away a big prize.
We're giving away not $50 because who does that? Not $100 because who does that? Not $120. It's Friday. We're giving away $200 to Will's Northwoods.
All right.
Which is in my neck of the nape, if you will, my neighborhood. I have spent many a dollar.
By the way, I'm going to taste it. I'm not going to put my lips on it because I know you want to drink it. I'm going to pour a taste into my water bottle and drink it out of that, okay?
Sure.
And that way you can still have it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So $200 to Will's Northwoods, courtesy of Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. I've had many a beverage, many a whiskey. I wish back when I was going, I wish they would have had Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey because then I would have gotten a little more nutty.
Oh, it smells delicious.
It smells like peanut butter, doesn't it?
Yes, that's why it's peanut butter whiskey. Give a whiff.
That's peanut butter.
Let me give it a little taste of it.
That's peanut butter. And
Waddle, how nutty?
Oh, my God. That's like, you know
what?
You know,
that was smooth.
You know, the jelly beans? All of the jelly beans that have different flavors?
Yeah. Jelly bellies.
It's a peanut butter jelly belly? Is that what you're saying?
Mm. Yeah. Oh. Please drink responsibly.
Of course.
That is tasty. All right, so how do they win?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to...
Don't call me now. Be caller 20 at the sign-off, the Screwball sign-off Friday.
Woo!
So when Mark Jean Greco is sitting where I'm sitting, you can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. When Mark Jean Greco is in here and it's towards the end of the show, I will tell you to be caller 20, and you can win $200 to beautiful Will's Northwoods. You can, well, they've got a big moose in the backyard. You can go probably take a picture with the moose. They have a big moose in the backyard.
It doesn't seem safe.
Who doesn't?
It's not real.
Who doesn't?
It's not real.
Who doesn't?
One of our teammates used to have a table there. He hosts, the former Packer that hosts the show in Wisconsin. For
Mark Tauscher?
Yeah, Tauscher used to have a table there, and Tauscher would go and drink all the time.
Fantastic. Yeah. He's the best. Yeah. I love Tauscher. Okay, excellent. So we'll give that away before we get out of here. You gave me a story for the nuttiest story of the day, brought to you by peanut butter, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It's titled 100 Million Year Old Giant Sperm Found Fossilized in Amber. I didn't think it was nutty enough, so I gave it away. If you want that story, I threw it away. You can Google it, okay? I didn't think it was that. But then I give you credit, Adam, because you scampered around and you found a story titled "Woman Accused of Driving While High on Pot Allegedly Does Some Dancing After Pulled Over." Now you're talking. Edmond, Oklahoma. Police say an Edmond woman was busted for driving while high on marijuana. Reefer?
Devil's lettuce.
Devil's lettuce. I knew we could count on you, Eric.
Indica or sativa.
And she
sounds like sativa.
She yeah. kept her good time going after being pulled over. An officer tried to pull over Megan Gaddis Thursday night because she was allegedly driving too slow and repeatedly switching lanes. But Gaddis allegedly sped up and ran a red light as she flashed the officer a peace sign. Yo! Police used stop sticks to stop Gaddis's alleged joyride. Gaddis came to a stop in Oklahoma City limits. She was arrested in a parking lot near Hefner and Broadway. Police cam footage shows Gaddis doing some dancing before being taken into custody. She's accused of eluding police, driving under the influence, according to police. A dog was found in her vehicle. It's been taken to animal welfare. I don't know if that was an upgrade from the giant 100-million-year-old sperm. But that's the direction I wanted to go. Is that cool?
No, it works for me. You want to play a game?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I started playing.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. A game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Bum, bum.
Let's do this.
Woman jailed after hitting man with windshield wiper. 28-year-old woman.
Those things can hurt.
Spent Monday night in jail after she allegedly hit a man with a windshield wiper.
She tear it off her
that
vehicle?
That she pulled off his truck.
Ooh.
The victim told police that he and Elizabeth Lohr were arguing when he decided to leave. He said Lohr followed him out to his car and continued to argue. The victim said as he tried to drive away, Lohr pulled the rear windshield wiper off the rear tailgate of his SUV, according to a police report. The victim said he got out of the vehicle to confront her about breaking off the windshield wiper, and she started hitting with him, causing a small laceration to his elbow. The police observed the cut with fresh blood coming out of it.
Boy, that's so benign. It sounds like something in Ohio, but I'm going to go with Vero Beach, Florida.
Vero Beach, that's where my cousin lives, oddly enough.
Maybe it was your cousin.
It could be.
Maybe it was your cousin.
Your cousin Elizabeth.
Lettuce? What'd you call it earlier?
Devil's lettuce.
Devil's lettuce?
You know. I'm going to say Youngstown, Ohio.
A woman was jailed after hitting a man with a windshield wiper in Ocala, Florida.
Yeah. I don't think I missed one all week long. This has been a fantastic week
Florida, Ohio. We had an Ohio one. This week that you all guess Florida on, I think. I'm not sure.
Don't ruin my buzz. When we come back, the latest on Allen Robinson's pursuit of a new contract. That is in just 2 minutes.